thank you very much, Kids Entertainers Academy, for having me to do this lecture tonight. So today's lecture is on Directing Your Show, The Complete Guide, by me, Danny Schlesinger. So let's get started and see what we're going to look at this lecture. So what are the benefits of having a director for your show? We're going to have a look at that first, and then we're going to look at who am I, because some of you might not know who I am, and I want to tell you a little bit more about me. Then I'm going to tell you some things about clients that have used my directing service. And because this is KEA, I'm going to give you some top tips to help yourself so you can use them straight away to self-direct. And then I'm going to talk about how to get a director and what the process involves. And then Zivi Kivi is going to come back as my special guest.
Yay.
Because I've actually directed him. Thank you, Zivi. And then it's your turn to ask questions. But if you have any questions, please put them in the chat or write them down, make a note of them, and ask me at the end. So I need to find that button. There we go. So here we go. Why have your show directed? Why indeed? Well, the first thing is, if you have a really good show, an excellent show that people talk about for months afterwards, you get a good reputation. And with a good reputation, you get increased bookings. And with increased bookings, you can charge more, because you can pick and choose what you want to do. So the next thing about why to have your show directed is to invest in your stagecraft. We spend a lot of time and money buying magic props and new balloon designs and juggling stuff and equipment. But how often do you actually invest in your own performance skills? Now, I know you're all already investing in performance skills by joining KEA. So that's really great. And that's very general routines that have been tried and tested. But investing in a director is about investing in you. A director will look at what you do and help you with that. And similarly, a director will help you with original content. So you can differ yourself in your market by having really good routines that are your own, that nobody else has. You can also hone your stage character. You can really make your character on stage much better with a few tweaks and a few nuances. You can really take it a long way. It's a fresh view from an expert, and two heads are better than one. And lastly, on this slide, it can be an additional member of your team. So a director can also join along your accountant, the KEA group, your insurance people, your lawyers, your, I don't know who else you have on your team.
Your coach.
Coach. Yeah, it's a coach. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Zivi. So those are some of the reasons why to have your show directed. And here are some more. So a director can help you personalize your style, your show, and whatever your situation is. You might have a great birthday show, but you want to move into a different market, like the schools market. And so the director can help you with that transition. And it's personalized for your situation. So in my view, a director is to help you get better audience rapport, a much better connection with the audience, which will give you increased laughs if you're going for comedy, and standing ovations. Yeah. But that's for your whole show. It might just be that there's one little bit of the show that doesn't quite work. And this is what happened with my first client example, who is Annie Bonanni. Annie is a fantastic balloon artist, and she performs balloon storytelling shows in libraries and schools. And She asked me to work with her on this one particular routine, which was climbing inside a giant balloon at the end of her story. And the character that she wanted was a kind of alien. So I said, why don't you, and she had problems talking as an alien. So I said, why don't you talk gibberish, talk nonsense with lots of beeps and whirs and, you know, nonsense that doesn't make any sense. And she absolutely loved this idea. And we worked on that principle. And this is what she had to say. Danny was fantastic to work with. He had some great ideas for a routine I've been working on forever. He helped me make this routine, take this routine from pretty funny to completely hilarious. For the first time ever, I now have a standalone 7-minute routine that kills every time. Thanks, Danny. Thank you very much, Annie Banani. That's a great recommendation. I'm just going to take a sip of water.
And by the way, can we learn the same routine and do it?
No, that's her routine. It's personalized for her and for her situation. See up here, personalization to your style, show and situation.
Got it.
It's hers. This is like with KEA. You can learn routines from Ken and
Julian.
From KEA. You have loads of routines to learn, and they're tried and tested, and they're up for grabs. You can use those. When I work with somebody, it's on your personal stuff. It's your routine. It's unique. Okay? So, who am I? Who's Danny Schlesinger? That's me without glasses. That's me with glasses here. I've been performing for over 20 years as a balloon entertainer specialist. And now, as well as performing, I direct children's entertainers to help improve their shows. I use all my experiences from performing in circus, theatre, film, TV, and of course birthday parties to help you make your show extra special. And here I am in different states of climbing in the balloon and actually in the balloon. Okay, so here we go. And I really love original content. I think that's what makes you unique. And here are my shows that I perform in theatres. The Big Balloon Spectacular is a kind of a modular show that I can slot in new routines, take old ones out, depending on the situation. And it's my basis for my birthday party show. So I can put in a birthday routine. I can take out the balloon sword swallow because it's not appropriate for very small children, things like that. The Balloon Gardener show down here was my first story-based show, trying to grow a large balloon for a competition, but little caterpillars kept on eating my balloons. And the finale for that show was for the magicians. It was the butterfly storm, which was really pretty. Everybody loved it, and the kids got to take home butterflies. And my Three Little Pigs show has been very successful. It's my current show. And it was inspired by the vanishing bandana trick. It's a magic trick that has a voiceover giving instructions. So I started my show that I have bought a crate of storytelling kit, and the voiceover gives me instructions what to do. So on opening it, there were lots of things missing or incorrect, or, you know, the props weren't there that I needed to tell the story. So I had lots of problems, and I told the story with lots of comedy. So those are my original content shows.
By the way, okay. Danny, how long is that show, the Three Pigs?
For theatre shows, they are 45 to 50 minutes.
Cool.
That's all I need to do. There's no point in doing longer shows. And here I do cabaret as well. And I like to really have, even in a 7-minute show, I like to have a little story. So the top three pictures are from Twist and Shout Balloon Convention in Las Vegas, 2015. I come on stage, a small dog, and it is a small dog, is taught tricks. I play around with the small dog. I have a sign 10 years later, and I take off my wig, which got a huge laugh. And the last part of the story is he's grown into a giant balloon dog. And I mean, he's really huge. He took up most of the stage and was quite unwieldy. It got me third prize, which was lovely at the stage competition. And then below, I'm doing the same routine, which is escaping from balloons. I like to be able to have repeatability so that your show can be, if a booker sees it, they know that they will have the same show at their event. So this was at Tricks in the Sticks, and again at an outdoor variety show for children and families. Same thing, I did exactly the same thing. So people know when I have a video or when they see me live, they know what they're getting. Great. So where's that button? It's a very small button. Okay, so here are some people that I've already directed. Buster Balloon, one of the top balloon artists, balloon entertainers in the USA. His wife, Ernie Bonanni, I've already talked about. She's great. And Matt Falloon from Australia, I've helped him. And some guy, I don't know who he is, Zivi Kivi.
Who's that?
From Israel. Oh. We will talk to him later. Shh, shh, Zivi, shh. And I've directed many more people in the UK and elsewhere around the world. And this is what Buster wrote. Brilliant. If there's one word that sums up Danny's work as both a performer and a director, it's simply brilliant. Thank you, Buster. Okay, moving swiftly on. Here are some things for you to do. So, my tips to direct yourself begin here. Keep calm, it's rehearsal time. So I have three ways to rehearse. The first is a mime through. A mime through is an easy way of rehearsing to remind your head what you do without the props. And you can remember emotions, lines, and where your body is in the space without having to worry about props. Okay? The next, and you can do it anywhere. I've done it in hotel rooms the night before a show. It's easy. You don't have to blow up balloons or set props or anything. It's very good. And you can do it in small spaces as well. So it's a really nice technique just to keep your mind going through your show, especially if it's new or you want to remember because you haven't done it for a while. The next one is a technical rehearsal. It's exactly what it sounds like. You use the sounds, all your props, where every object starts and finishes, and are your batteries charged for your battery-operated things if you have them. So it's really good just to do a technical rehearsal. And then finally, a final run through, a dress rehearsal with all the props, sounds as if you're doing a show. And it's really useful if you're doing new bits and checking if links between routines work. So if you're adding a new bit in, it's good to do this. So this is great when you have a show, but sometimes you just need to practice. And practice is different from rehearsal. Practice is a repetition of a skill or a trick to gain proficiency, whether that's juggling, magic, balloon modeling, or other things. You need to practice your skill. That's what you're good at. That's what you're showing. But when it comes to rehearsal, rehearsal is a repetition of a routine containing several tricks, and it's preparing for a show to perform. So it's more performative. It's more, you know, you've worked on your skill and you've made a routine. So why practice? Why rehearse? You need to keep your tools and skills sharp. And the reason is that you can concentrate when you're performing on connecting with your audience in the moment on stage. That is why we're there. That is the whole excuse to be there through magic or balloons or juggling or whatever. It's to connect with an audience. So those are a few tips on how to rehearse and practice and the difference between rehearsing and practicing. Everybody okay before we go on? Is everybody out there? Can you give me a 1 to 5, how useful this is, how interesting this is? Can you just type in the chat box 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? 1 being, it's, I know this already, what are you talking about? 5, this is amazing, I can use this tomorrow. Thank you. Thanks, V. Great, Peter. Thank you, Damien's. Bart, excellent. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to move on then. I just wanted to know if you were still there because I'm just talking to myself otherwise. Okay, so here is my second example. Thanks, Dave. Susie Q Balloons. Now, Susie came to me. She's been a face painter for 4 years and a balloon artist for 2. She came to me with an idea of storytelling with balloons. So what we worked on together was what story to tell. And then we worked on the balloons to go in that story, because she came back after working on her own for a bit with some really complex balloons. And I said to her, look, these are great balloons. They're wonderful sculptures. But if you have 3 shows a day or 5 shows a weekend or 6, you are going to have a nightmare preparing all these balloons that are too complicated. So we simplified her designs. I then worked on some comedy moments in her show and some interaction points that she can use with the audience. And we looked at staging, blocking, where to put people on stage, the kids, how to move around the stage and do that, those kind of basic stage skills. I then taught her a new skill, which was climbing in the balloon. And I highly recommend having somebody there with you when you do it for the first couple of times, if that's what you want to do. But so I taught her a new skill, or advised her on the best ways and the best machines to get to inflate balloons and so on. We looked at marketing. I recommended somebody that designed my logo. This is her new logo. I really love it. She's a balloon artist. She's got a balloon pump and several different balloon animals. Her name, Susie Q Balloons. Really great. It was designed by Matthew Spraggins at Spectator Art, and I believe he's a KEA member. So, hi, Matthew. And he designed my logos as well, and you'll see one of them at the end of the lecture. So I recommended her some marketing things and gave her a to-do list, which she's going through now. It's a never-ending process. Your show is never finished. So I gave her a list. And this is what she wrote for me for a testimonial. If you are looking for guidance on entertainment and performance, then I can 100% recommend Danny Schlesinger. That's me. You can only benefit from years of experience Danny has gained while performing himself in the entertainment industry. Susie Q Balloons. I'm going to take another sip of water. Okay, so moving on. More out-of-the-box tips to direct yourself. Now, these are really useful, and you can implement these immediately when this lecture finishes. So I want to talk about self-directing. If you don't want or can't afford or don't need a director, you can self-direct. And the best way to do that I found, and I still use this a lot, is to use video. And I found this really cool cartoon of a gorilla with a camera. It doesn't have to be brilliant quality. We all have cameras on our phones, and you can record yourself during rehearsals and shows, and you can look at it back, and it's really useful to be able to see yourself perform, because that's what the audience sees. So when you're looking back at the show, you might want to look at the order of the show. Is it the best order it can be? Do you need a backdrop? Is each moment clear in the show? Does the show build? Or does it kind of waver? Is it clear? Is what you're trying to do clear? Does it come across to an audience? And the links, how are the transitions from one, the end of one routine into the next one? Are they smooth? Okay. What's missing? Can you see anything that's missing? Sometimes when you're in it, you can't actually see what's missing. But when you watch it, you can go, hey, why don't I just do that? Why did I miss that? And finally, you want to look at the production values. How does it look? Do you need a backdrop? Do you need to upgrade your props? Are your juggling balls old and manky and horrible? And this is what happened to me. I took a look at my step back, took a look at my kids' show, and I saw the juggling balls that I first used like 25 years ago when I learned to juggle. And they were worn through and really not very nice to look at. So rather than getting new juggling balls, I decided, because I do balloon-based shows, I decided to stuff them into 11-inch balloons. So they're covered in balloons. They look clean, they look neat, and I'm juggling balloons, which is kind of in my world that I want to be in. And then moving on to, I found this really fantastic cartoon of Dracula looking in the mirror, and of course he can't see himself. Self-reflection proves difficult. My next point is, I really can't emphasize this enough, cameras are brilliant. Some magicians, some performers are taught to use mirrors, and I think that's a real, it gives you a false illusion, because when you're performing for a camera, you're doing two things. When you're performing for a mirror, you're doing two things at once. You're performing and you're trying to self-direct at the same moment you're performing. With a camera, it gives you distance. You perform for the camera and you're in the moment performing, doing your best. Then you stop performing, switch the camera off, and you can look at the footage as a director, with your head in directing. And I've even heard of magicians that practice in front of a mirror. They practice a new move or something, and they get into a habit of blinking every time they do the move. So they think they're doing the move really well, but they're fooling themselves to think they are successful. So I prefer cameras now. We all have them. So cameras, not mirrors. You can also practice in front of somebody that you trust. Now, somebody that you trust may not be your wife or whoever. You want somebody that knows about your field and they know what is going on. And they're not just going to gush and say, oh, that's fantastic. You don't need to do any more work on that, because that doesn't actually help you. You need somebody that's knowledgeable. And then finally, and this came out really from a discussion on the Facebook group with Hillel, that you can go to, if you have local friendly kids, I know Zivi Kivi does in his village, do your show in front of the kids. Make sure that they are not your market that you're aiming for, but try it out, invite some kids around, perform it in the garden, whatever, and see their true reaction to your show or your new routine. Okay, so there are some top tips for you to direct yourself. I hope those were useful. Were they useful? Can you give me another 1 to 5 on the chat box? Oh, thanks. Excellent. 5 from Hillel. Great. Oh, 6. Thank you, KEA trainer. I think that's you, Zivi. 5, 5. Excellent. 4. Brilliant. Thank you. So those are really useful takeaway stuff that you can use immediately. Video is the way forward. Okay, so the way forward is this arrow here. Okay. However, there are some problems self-directing. So here we go. The problems, the shock. I had to take that one-handed, otherwise it would have been two-handed like that. The confusion. You might have no idea where to start building a show. an original show, because I know you're all on KEA. You can build a show just by watching the KEA units. That's fine. You might not have an idea where to start building an original show. So you might have too many ideas. Some people are just full of ideas, but they don't have a clue how to make them into a routine. And lastly, you might be confused because you have a lack of knowledge or know-how how to progress to the next level of your show. You might have a great show, but how do you make it the best show? And then frustration. If you are having adults that are bored, children that are kind of talking and fiddling, and adults on the phones, and when watching your show, you might need somebody to come in and go, well, you're not doing this, or you need to do more of that. Excuse me. If you're not getting enough laughs coming from your routines, you might need, it might be quite difficult to direct yourself. And then you might, it's very difficult working on your own. Obviously, with KEA, you can chat on Facebook and it's fantastic, but you still might have a lack of motivation or you might have lost your spark. And it's difficult to kind of really critically analyze what your show is doing if you're trying to self-direct. And lastly, you might have no or slow bookings or rebookings or recommendations. And again, that doesn't really help your confidence when you're self-directing. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to take a long, hard look in the mirror. I know it's a cute picture, but be prepared for some honesty and some blunt words. Here we go. Okay, so here's some openness and honesty. If your show is unfocused, if it's filled with engaging off-the-shelf, out-of-the-box and unoriginal routines that all your competition perform too, if it's characterless and has stale jokes and gags, you will not get rebooked as often as you should. You will not be able to justify higher prices and your reputation will be substandard. You will never stand out and shine and be a good 21st century entertainer if your show doesn't get amazing reactions every single time. It's a dramatic pause to let that sink in. But I can reassure you that I have been there myself. And there is some good news that with a director, that 80% of your problems with shows, not with other parts of your life, with shows are easy to see if you are not in the show. And it's easy to fix by an experienced outside eye or director, knowledgeable in that area of expertise. It's really pointless getting in. Hey, I've got a director. They direct Shakespeare. They're wonderful. But if they don't know about children's entertaining, it's a waste of time. So you have to get the right kind of expert. So, do you have an idea for an original show? Do you want to take your show that you have to the next level? Do you have some ideas to bring to a director? So, getting a pro, a professional director, that is, it's an investment in you. We, all of us, spend lots of money on more balloons, different shapes, colors, more magic tricks, lots of stuff. We have stuff. But this is an investment in you, in your performance skill. Bring your idea to a professional director. So the method for directing international children's entertainers goes like this. There is an initial consultation where we discuss what your ideas are. You introduce yourself to me. We chat. We see how we get on. Once you decide to go ahead, you pay me some money. You send me a video and I look at the videos making notes. I often watch it two or three times to make sure I get everything. And then we arrange a feedback session on Skype or another media. And we have a Skype session. I give you my thoughts on what you've shown me on the video. And I then set you tasks, how you can improve the show you've shown me. Okay, And this repeats, you video progress, you go away, you work on your show, work on the tasks that I've given you, you video the results, send it to me, I give you more feedback until we're both happy. And I do encourage people to contact me throughout the process if they've got any niggling questions, or I just can't get this right, or have you got any thoughts about this? Throughout the process and afterwards, if there's any problems, I'm happy to look after you. I have an aftercare service. So just to let you know that I only work with one entertainer at a time. I put a lot of effort in, and so I just want to apologize in advance if I turn you down, because I might be really busy already. Plus, I have my own work. So it's now time for a very special guest. You know him if you've been watching KA broadcasts. Zivi Kivi features quite heavily on them. He's doing some great jobs with the business side of stuff, but he's one of Israel's top children's entertainers, and he came to me asking to get direction on his show because he wanted to improve the show. He wanted to improve the contact with adults during the show. He wanted more laughs for everybody that's watching the show, and he wanted a kind of a general birthday party show upgrade. That's what he mainly does. Okay, that's his main kind of source of party income, is the party birthday party shows. Hello, Zivi.
Hey, hello, everyone. Hello, Danny. Yeah, I think that it's really important to kind of acknowledge that birthday shows are shows, you know, they are important for us, they are part of our lives. I feed my three kids with birthday shows. That's how I feed them. They eat the food that I buy with money from birthday shows. And I actually felt, after doing it for many years, that I got to kind of a glass ceiling on top of me where I stopped changing stuff. And I felt like it's not ready yet. I mean, the show, I keep improving it, but it's not ready yet. It maybe will never be, you know, ready.
It won't be ready, Zivi. You can always keep improving.
I know,
Let
I know.
Tell you now.
Yeah, I know. But still, I got stuck. And that's basically when I contacted you. It took me some time to, you know, to get the courage of admitting that this is not going anywhere. I mean, it just didn't move. And I was frustrated after a show where I was, you know, watching the adults not appreciating my work, while I knew that the kids loved my work and they are having tons of fun. And I tried all kinds of ideas of how to get more interactions with adults. I even tried some violent ideas, like, you know, really approaching the adults and trying to convince them to listen to the show and stuff. That was not a good idea. When you mentioned about the birthday show upgrade, I just wanted to make sure people understand this is our lives, this is our business, our careers. And, you know, it makes sense to use an expert, just like you don't try to fix your car, you don't try to fix your washer machine, you don't try to, build your house by yourself. There are experts for everything, and they are experts for helping you be you in your show. And I really enjoyed the process of that.
So Zivi came to me. Here he is. He sent me a 2-hour-long video of his complete kids package. It starts with him arriving in the van, unloading the van, getting the birthday kids to help unload the van, setting everything. It was very interesting, but it was very long. And it was also in Hebrew. The show was in Hebrew, or the whole video was in Hebrew. His client was Hebrew. Israeli. Yeah. So I don't speak Hebrew. So I had this additional kind of barrier to trying to understand his show. But actually, I asked him several questions. What's this bit about? What does this sign mean? And then I watched the video several times. We picked three routines to really work in on detail. And Zivi, if I had a hat, I would take it off, because then Zivi broadcast on a podcast my feedback. We had a discussion live, and you can hear the podcast, and you can see the video of this old show for free. Here's the link. It's a part of the Balloon Artist podcast, the last chapter of season 2. And you can hear all the discussions that went on with Zivi and myself about the show, and you can see the show yourself.
Yeah.
So I have some questions now, Zivi, for you.
Go ahead.
How is the show now after working with?
There's definitely a lot of changes. If I take a look at the show, I would feel like about 25% totally changed. So there's a complete routine that I no longer do. So there's a lot more space for me to move around. There is a totally different order in the flow of the show, which is the base for me to later on top of that add the story and the plot that I'm incorporating into my show. So I'm building it step by step. I no longer hit my donut puppet.
He has an Axtel donut bagel puppet.
Yeah.
And his treatment of this puppet was horrible for me.
for many reasons. I didn't treat it as if it's a live creature, and I even was using violence. So it was really not a good message for kids to show how I hit the poor puppet on my levitation illusion. And
so this was one of the big flags that I waved at Zivi. Please treat your props and your puppets with respect, because you're trying to give an illusion.
Yeah.
And they're kids. Why would you teach kids to beat up puppets or creatures or whatever it is? So,
right. I actually, in Hebrew, explained, oh, don't worry, it's a puppet. And it was not working, yeah. And I now use a kind of like a box for it. I don't hit it. And in addition to that, just arriving in these days, I'm replacing the puppet to a kiwi puppet made for me by Matt Falloon in Australia. And it will be, instead of a bagel, which is not really related. Yeah, we wanted to do the wise bagel, remember? But it's more logical for me to use the wise kiwi, because I'm Zivi Kiwi. So,
It looks great. It's a great puppet. And again, it's original to you. Nobody else has a kiwi puppet like that.
No one.
So we looked at the reordering the show. We looked at the puppetry. And also the stage was really crowded. There was no room for Zivi to move around on stage. So we cleared some stuff out.
And
what else?
A lot of times, you know, just by getting into the momentum of changes, it allowed me to get the clarity of knowing what do I really want to do with the backstage. Because I was not satisfied with my backstage. It looked a little bit too simple for what I want to, the value I want to bring and the quality I want to bring. But I was able to brainstorm with you, Danny, and to basically find my voice of what I want to do with the backstage and what I want to do with the extra two roll-ups on the side of the backstage, which I will use on school settings and library shows and bigger salons, bigger like living rooms. And, you know, just the fact that I have someone to brainstorm with and to know what I want to achieve with my different routines, that allowed me to to be in a really good momentum. So even the fact that I wanted to reach adults, and a few of the routines that we discussed included now a way to do a balloon auction, which is something that is mentioned in the Balloon Artist podcast in season 2, chapter 7 with John Watkins. So it's a really fun idea, the balloon auction, and it is actually an idea that is interesting to the adults. So by having someone that understands my needs, understands what I want to achieve, I was able to now incorporate that piece of fun comedy interactive material and put that into my birthday shows as well.
Excellent. I think it's a really good point what you made about being able to brainstorm, bounce ideas off somebody else, because often as children's entertainers, we work on our own. And when you're trying to come up with something new or you want to change, you kind of get stuck in your own way of thinking, and having somebody else to talk to and to bounce ideas off can really accelerate the process of change.
I also think that it's an accountability exercise, because let's face it, we are aware of some of the things that we are not doing right, but we are we think, oh, it's not a big deal. I didn't replace this prop. It's already breaking. It looks old, but it's okay. No one will notice it. But when suddenly someone you appreciate comes to you and say, hey, everyone notice it. This prop is old. Replace it. It's not good for you. So by having someone that, you know, you respect, come to me, in this case, Danny, it was you. You came to me and you showed me my stage looks messy. And that is unacceptable, you know? And it's very hard to do those changes by yourself without this little push and this little help. And it just clicked.
Was it a good experience?
I think it was, it wasn't easy. You know, you can even hear on the podcast that sometimes I just want to explain and I don't want to accept it so fast. I mean, I'm not really arguing, but I am fighting, you know, could see I'm it's not easy for me. So definitely going to the doctor is not easy, but he can tell you if you have problem in your body.
And sometimes it's necessary.
It is. I think it's always necessary. I think, you know, it's just you need to ask yourself what type of a game you play in life. And if your game involves professional shows as a full-timer, or just that you really respect the art, then, you know, I am an artist. I am an artist and I want to be directed. So for me, it just goes without saying.
So Regina asked me on the Q&A tab, which is great. Thank you, Silly Sparkles, Regina. Do you have a picture of your messy stage before you made the changes?
Oh.
And really, you need to go to the video. The link is in the Balloon Artist podcast, and you will be able to see the whole video there. I think it's from an hour in to the video, you see the show, so you can skip the hour and you will see it set up. So I hope that answers your question.
And Regina, I can also send it to you later in a private message. Yeah.
And my last question for you, Zivi, before we open up the questions to everybody, is what was the most valuable thing about working with me?
I think it's feeling like I have someone to talk with about it and to trust, and that I'm not alone. So it's actually most and foremost just to be more confident about going through a process of change, because we love our shows and we love the reactions, but reactions can be improved. And as a side result, I see the reactions. I see the improved reactions. I get parents that come to me and tell me, we really enjoyed watching your show. And
great.
I don't do it only for that, but definitely, yes, I like having that as well. It's good marketing to have those reactions, you know.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you very much, Zivi.
Thank you.
So now I'd like to open it up for... I'm trying to find this button. It keeps hiding.
Yeah.
Maybe... No, I can't find it now. Sorry.
It was going so well.
Ah, thank you. Yes.
By the way, Regina mentioned that it sounds funny that I hit a puppet of a donut. But actually, more than once, a parent will come to me and say, why are you hitting him in front of the kids? Why? And I would fight and say, yeah, but I explained this is the puppet, Sefi the puppet. And no. It's not Sefi the puppet, it's Sefi the donut. So again, you just need to accept the fact that you're not always right, you know?
So it's now question time for you guys. Have you? It's an odd topic, but I hope you've got some insight into it. And have you got any questions for me or for Zivi? We are both here to answer your questions. You can type them in the Q&A or in the web chat, and we can answer them